It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, hanging with Daniel Pryor today. And hello once again, Mr. Pryor.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Really good. Good. Business is good. I guess a lot of people responding to your program,
yes.
Seeking counsel, seeking life coaching. Mm-hmm. And there's some aspect of that which is good for you, obviously, because you want to help people. But yeah, people are troubled out there. People are hopeless. People are lonely, overwhelmed with anxiety, maybe because of, you know, turn on the news and the yep. latest terrorist attack or violence in our society. But you want to help people. And one of the ways that you do that is you help people grow their world. That seems to be a theme that comes out in mm-hmm. a lot of your counseling you talk mm-hmm. about on the Sound Mind Show.
Yeah, and I want to talk about living in hope today a little bit and kind of go from there. That term hope, that word has come up a couple times in the past couple of weeks on shows that I've heard, scriptures. Hope, you know, one of the things that we've talked about before and I've kind of referred to a lot of times in counseling sessions, living in the future as opposed to living in the past. And of course, when we talk about the future, hope has a, that word hope resonates. It talks, it speaks to the, of the future too. Hope is an abiding assurance. And that's one of the things, of course, that people, anybody that's that's in the process of seeing a counselor now or thinking maybe I should see a counselor or has seen a counselor in the past, that idea of an abiding assurance is certainly one of those things that's lacking in life so often. And that's why it could be lack of assurance in a marriage, can be lack of assurance in a career, can be lack of assurance in faith, but hope, an abiding assurance, that's something that, boy, we could all use more of. So we talk about living in hope, that abiding assurance, and that's, to me, it's linked with this idea of growing your world, which, yeah, we have talked about that before. The idea that for all of us, your world is either getting larger or smaller, it doesn't plateau off. Actually, the Earth doesn't get larger
right,
or smaller,
right.
But you know the world that I live in. Mm-hmm. You know my perspective, my perception of life. It's either growing and increasing in relationships are getting deeper and moving forward in goal orientation and those kinds of things, or retreating away from relationships, away from challenges, into a world that's increasingly about myself. And as we've talked in a couple of previous shows in talking about personalities, when we talk about that world growing smaller, in terms of a couple of shows before, there's that core in a personality, that the core of the personality being having to do with defense mechanisms and fear and shame. And so as my world gets smaller, I get closer and closer to that core, and that separates me from other people. I can't mm-hmm. venture out from those core mm-hmm. fears and core things, so I can't.
Well, and you were saying too here before we went on the air, a real common denominator in anybody who seeks counseling a lot of times is there this sense of loneliness. And that would certainly be a result of a small world and not having relationships.
And isolated, yeah. Mm-hmm. Loneliness, really, mm-hmm. and also lack of direction.
Mm-hmm.
If you have anxiety and depression, and, you know, those don't have to be clinical. They can, you know, anxiety can be just, you know, kind of a tendency to kind of be a worry wart, we say, or depression being lack of motivation, full-blown depressive situation would be a person just not even wanting to get out of bed, but can be, you know, just lack of motivation, can be, you know, anxiety, can be just, you know, irritability or tendency to, you know, worry about things. And if that's sort of taken over your life, then chances are you're living in the past. And so rather than needing to be, you know, pursuing industry or pursuing relationships or both, as we've talked before, because that's how you grow your world. You pursue tasks, industry, work, you complete things, that gives you a sense of value, control, and power. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is you increase the depth of your relationships. And those are two things that people, I find, struggle with. They're either lonely because they don't have relationships, or they lack some kind of direction in their life. I've met an awful lot of people in the counseling, and outside of counseling too, but a lot of people in the counseling office here in the past couple of years who have said, you know, don't know what direction I'm taking. And these aren't necessarily people who are deeply troubled emotionally. Sometimes they're just, it's in a stage of their life where they've met their goals. Maybe they're retired now, and then they're just having difficulty. Or I was talking to somebody the other day, we were talking about that when you're getting into that third quarter of your life, you know, in your 60s and 70s and 80s, and most of life is in the rearview mirror, how do you continue to motivate yourself to move forward for something? Because life changes, sometimes challenge that. So,
And you were saying, so obviously that's a healthy view of the future and a healthy view of the past. And what do you mean by, in your terminology, what are you meaning by future and past?
And that's a good question, because a lot of times people will get confused about living in the future. Does that mean, you know, planning a vacation, planning a career? It can mean that. Faith is something that points toward the future. Planning, certainly any kind of planning, building, whether it be financial portfolio or building a family, pursuing or cultivating relationships, investing time and investing effort, but also, as we were talking about, hope and joy and a sense of well-being. Those are things that, to me, indicate whether I'm living in the future or the past. If I have
looking to the future,
yeah,
hopeful about the future, in the here and now. Because there's also want to ask you that we also hear that it's a virtue to live for today and to have your sense of, you know, today give me our daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, so there's these biblical mandates to not be at least worried or fearful of the future.
Yeah. And that requires that the idea of living in today and having a sense of confidence in today requires that we do have some answers about the future.
There you go.
And so that was well put, the way that you said it, living in hope of the future, living toward the future.
That's what you mean.
Yeah. You know, this hope and joy and sense of well-being, those are, of course, the opposites of fear and shame. And so that would be another indicator. Am I living in the future? If, you know, so the opposites of fear and shame might be confidence and a sense of worth, because shame is that internalized message of lack of worth. So the opposite of fear might be confidence, or somebody might say faith. A lot of people might, you know, say, well, in fact, probably have heard sermons about you can respond in fear or faith. Confidence and a sense of worth. The fruit of the Spirit comes to mind. Let me see if I can say them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith.
There you go.
Okay. Now, if you think of each one of those suggest hope, as we were just talking about, rather than pessimism. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, why would you be long-suffering? Why would you be patient in those? Because you have some answers about the future, and you realize that
this isn't all there is.
This isn't all there is.
Yeah.
Which takes us right into, well, what do you mean by the past? Well, that would be kind of a philosophically materialistic idea that this is all there is, that there's nothing.
Somebody who lives in the past is this is all there is, and I don't got long to live. And so I better make the most of it, but I'm disappointed. I've got regret. I haven't gotten everything I've wanted in life. So that might be somebody in the past.
Planning is ultimately futile. So we're just buying time. It's planning would be, well, it's just a temporary distraction from the imminent, and pretending to have meaning, no reason to persevere or do your best. It's amazing, and I don't think a lot of Christians realize how even on a daily basis, we can slide into that kind of an ideology. Think in terms of just the way we behave in traffic, or the way we behave when we encounter other people and we're irritable, or we overreact, or we're argumentative, or is that not a rather materialistic view of things? We're treating it as though This earth is my home. This is, and so we have a sense of entitlement, and those kinds of things that we wouldn't think of that as living in the past, because we're not thinking about past events, but we are living in the past in so far as we're not really living in hope of the future.
Right.
You know, so the past is the domain of fear and shame. And so the response to fear and shame is anxiety, depression, and anger.
Is the past also the domain of resentment and disappointment?
Mm-hmm. Oh, certainly.
I mean,
yeah.
Certainly people have always done this to me, and here we go again. Mm-hmm. This person's going to disappoint me.
Yeah.
Or this person I've known for a long time, they've always treated me this way, and it's never going to change.
As opposed to meekness, which the meek attitude tends to accept whatever life sends our way and say, well, that's part of it, and what can we make out of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So meekness, temperance, faith, those kinds of things. Yeah, that's very good. So a lot of times people will think of living in the past as living in memories, but it's also living in anger. It's living in anxiety. It's living in depression. It's living in fear and shame, because you can't be having a hope in the future and experience those things at the same time. So, you know, clearly it's not the sort of thing that I can just decide on a particular day, okay, I'm never going to respond to fear and shame again in terms of anger, depression, anxiety. Because challenges come up every day, and I find that it's easy to get distracted from, you know, the hope that lies within us. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we have to practice the reality of that on a continual basis,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Well, living in hope this week on the Sound Mind broadcast, Growing Your World, we will discuss more of this, what it means to live in the future in a biblical sense of having hope about God's future for you as a Christian, for your life. Both, I think, living for hope for making life better in this life. We mm-hmm. want to make our life as good as it can be in this mm-hmm. life, but mm-hmm, also certainly. Not be overwhelmed with, you know, you still got heaven to look forward to, too. I mean, mm-hmm. You hear that term. Being too heavenly minded to be too earthly good.
Yeah.
But I think actually we could use some more heavenly mindedness mm-hmm. and then we will be more earthly good.
I think it would give us a proper perspective, mm-hmm. you know, of the value of this life.
Yeah. Well, if people are struggling with this, they feel maybe overwhelmed by loneliness and worry, and their world is very small. They want to grow their world. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169. And also, people can email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
We'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast, the subject this week, Living in Hope, here on KCIS.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along on the journey once again with Daniel Pryor, Sound Mind broadcast here this week. Interesting subject, living in hope and living in the future in a good sense, living as we look forward to the future. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to continue on this idea.
Yeah, I was just reminded that a comment came up on either a Facebook or a YouTube thing here recently where somebody had talked about hope and putting your hope in Christ. And those kinds of phrases always catch my attention because they don't seem to have any mechanism that explains how that really works. Mm. How do I put my hope in Christ? So it can be easily a cliche, and we as Christians we have to watch out for cliches because they immobilize us. We've got to realize how this is actually done. So we've been talking about living in the future, living in joy and sense of joy and hope, and that's very difficult to do, if even possible, to be hopeful and joyful, and particularly in our world today. if Christ isn't real to me, and what do I mean by Christ being real to me? Because the idea of Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, can be something that's very distant and
historical figure.
Yeah, historical figure, mm-hmm. and almost a metaphor in some ways, or a sacrament that's Christians today. I wonder how many of us really have a relationship with the Lord, where we feel that, where that hope is a real thing. And so how do we build hope? If a person, you know, say, well, if I put my hope in Christ, I'd have to have hope first. So where do you start here? And so I say it's really difficult to do that if you're not in daily fellowship with Christ, and also if you're not in fellowship with regular friends and fellow believers. And I want to stress the fellow believers, because a lot of us have friends that are, maybe in the world, secular friends. That's great. There's not a problem with that. Be wonderful friends. I've had very wonderful friends, and still do, that aren't particularly professing Christians. But there's just something about believers, fellow believers, mm. that we can, we were talking about hope in the earlier part of the show, and so that hope is reaffirmed in that fellowship. You know, Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst, and so we find Christ in the body of Christ. Fellowship with Christ, abiding, that is a lost art, don't you think? People mm. don't know how to abide, how to sit and be quiet and wait on God's perspective. And sometimes I think that's what a lot of prayer is. It's not necessarily asking for things and getting answers, but it's just being quiet for however long it takes. And, you know, sometimes it might be a long time. I've realized for a number of years that if I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't sleep and I'm restless, rather than go to the internet and look up a doctor on sleep syndrome, right. or something like that, I say, I'm just going to pray. And I've prayed for a couple hours. I've prayed for two or three hours, and felt refreshed the next day, mm. and realized that there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking some time in the middle of the night if I wake up to talk to the Lord. Mm. I didn't get that chance during the day. When do you find a couple, 3 hours during the day to talk to God, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that's, but sometimes it's just being quiet and waiting, for God's perspective, patient, hopeful waiting. Knowing that God is there and that he's going to respond to you. He who comes to the Lord, has to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. So fellowshipping with Christ, abiding in him, John 15, apart from me, you can't do anything. At John 15, that chapter talks about the vine and mm-hmm. I'm the vine and you're the branch, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Mm-hmm. And Christ abided in the Father, and that's why he was such a powerful, a representation here on earth. And we need to learn to abide. There's this Psalm 119, I think it's verse 165, that says, "Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And if there's one thing we need in the world today, it's to be able to not be offended.
Yeah, people are so easily offended in this world.
And Isaiah 40:31, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength and rise up as eagles. So there's something about just waiting, waiting for God's perspective, being quiet before the Lord and being patient.
Well, this idea of cultivating and abiding a real relationship with Jesus, who's there with you right now, I've heard someone say, you have to think of Jesus, not just what would Jesus do. I mean, I think that's where that kind of mm-hmm. WWJD, mm-hmm. but Jesus is sitting right next to you, mm-hmm. Jesus. So if that's true, he is sitting mm-hmm. right next to you, or even we read in the scripture, he's in you. Mm-hmm. How would that comfort you, mm-hmm. help you get, like you mm-hmm. say, get a perspective on what you're facing? If Jesus is right there mm-hmm. with you, He's for you. He's not against you.
And that's something that takes time. We have to be quiet. Somebody was talking to prayer about prayer earlier this week, and the thought that came to my mind was a small girl or a small boy walking along with dad. Could be mom too, but you know, for me it was dad. So walking along with dad, and maybe asking some questions like, "Why is the sky blue?" and you know, things like that. And the answers aren't that important. What's important is the walk. And I think a lot of prayer is just being quiet and, you know, be still and know that I am God, being quiet. And until you till you get that sense, until you have that realization in your spirit that the Lord is right there with you. You know,
there's a pretty neat scripture that this brings to mind to me is the one, Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that's about?
Mm-hmm.
It's just self-explanatory.
I think, yeah.
If you got Jesus in you,
that is the hope.
Taken care of.
So we're talking about how do I get hope? You know, and so what we're really talking about is how do I get into that abiding relationship, abiding in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Because he is the hope. And so if I don't have hope, I know exactly where the problem lies.
In your practice, you see a lot of people. I would think that you see a lot of people who are Christian. Are a lot of times people who need to go to counseling, are they people who've kind of lost their way as far as their relationship with Christ, would you say? Or
there's a lot of people searching out there, and I've been aware of that for a period of time, that there's a... Even, you know, even probably more so in this generation, but I've met older men. As a matter of fact, Mark, I started a book review group probably over a decade ago now, but went on for about 7 or 8 years. And the reason I started that was that in my counseling practice and in my friendships, I started realizing that there were a lot of men my age who were surprised when they entered their 50s and 60s. That they didn't have all the answers to their faith, and kind of took us by surprise.
Which is okay, but we didn't think
it would be that way. We thought we'd have it all the questions answered.
Right.
We're still pondering at that age. You know, I wanted to bring out this scripture in Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and I've got that in bold and underlined. Waited patiently. Because unless we're waiting patiently, we're not yet waiting. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, or you could say anxiety and depression, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to the Lord. It starts with waiting patiently on the Lord, and we in America are not patient people. But that's something that you really need to cultivate, and cultivate is the active word there. And then the other part is friends with, deepening our friendships. Again, Christ is present in his body, and I've seen in my counseling, I've experienced seeing people that have, well, you said earlier, so heavenly minded of no earthly good. One way that can happen is people who have a relationship with God but don't have relationships with other people. And first thing you know, we're sort of creating God in our own image. Mm. There's no check
and
balance.
So that's definitely the second component. It can't be just you, me, and Jesus. It's got to be...
Jesus in the body of Christ.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Jesus also in the body of Christ. That's exactly right. I was hearing something that Ben Carson did a little thing on Black Lives Matter, and he was talking about the achievements of black people in the culture, and it was really quite a eye-opener for me. I mean, everything from traffic lights to, I can't list them off, but he just went on and on and on. And his whole point was this idea of optimism and courage, and well, it's a lot easier to have that if you're in a company. And you can see those around you who have struggled and overcome. And that's a good message for us. You know, that Ecclesiastes 10:4 says that if you're in relationship with somebody, and then when one falls, the other one lifts them up. And that's the way God has designed it. You know, I suppose that he, you know, that God could have said, you don't need to meet together or have friends or fellowship. You know, I'll just come and meet.
Right. Didn't do that.
But part of the whole business of the body of Christ is that we come to unity of the faith. And that doesn't mean we all believe exactly the same thing, but we come to communion. We come to a place of communion. And the deal breakers get solved. There's a lot of things that I believe that maybe other people don't believe, but they're not deal breakers. They don't really matter. You know, the unity of the faith. You know, that hope and the basic things that happens in the context of that body. So we're talking about living in hope, living in joy, and those are two critical elements of it. Abiding in Christ and also deepening our friendships and
well, these are all things that'll help us live in hope and grow our world, healthy ways to think and believe. And though maybe somebody's listening today, they don't feel like they are. They feel like they're living in despair and they need help. They need to maybe be put back on the right track. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, I can be reached by phone at the phone number is 425-778-6169, 778-6169. And also people email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
You have offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
And Edmonds. Mm-hmm.
So people can check you out at those locations. So always great insights. Counselor, life coach, Daniel Pryor. This is the Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.